Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together again. As you can see, there's a different pastor preaching this morning than your regular pastor, and he is in New York City. And so we'll be praying for Pastor Doug and Wanda that they have a rich and insightful trip there as they are learning and doing ministry. A reminder again that there is childcare tonight for Overcomer. Again, we didn't announce it earlier this week, but there is. And again, it's age 3 to grade 3, right? Yeah, thank you, Kyle, for mentioning that. We'd love to see you come out tonight and be encouraged. We're continuing our series on a brand new you. And we're in the third message of the series. It's a 4-week series. We'll be wrapping it up next week with a title called A New and Living Way. But today we're talking about a brand new mouth. Now, you see a little interesting picture up there on the screen of a kid obviously screaming into a microphone. Now, I don't know about you. He might be a good singer. I don't know. Maybe he's a great singer, like some of the people in our choir. But looking at this picture, I tend to think that I might be doing this if I listen to him. Maybe you would too. And it's all the more amplified by the fact that he's shouting likely into a microphone. And if you've ever used a microphone or you've spoken in public or you've done something where you've had to make a talk or a presentation using a microphone or you sing maybe, there's some nuance to it. Because when you talk into a microphone, everything is amplified, right? So if I go over here and I start talking, you start to lose me. But once I come back this way now, even if I whisper, you hear what I'm saying. So when I get up here or Pastor Doug or Pastor Kyle or a singer, we're very careful what we say because every little detail can have such a powerful effect. And as we're looking at James chapter 3, verses 3 to 12, page 931 in the blue Bibles in front of you, I think this is a little bit of what James is talking about. That we're supposed to actually live as Christians as if we're walking around with a microphone. Because our words are that important. They're that important that each word that we speak matters in this life and in eternity. And so James says this in chapter 3, 3 to 12. Would you stand with me as we read the scriptures out? James, the brother of Jesus, he says, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this isn't right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Whew, that's a tough message, isn't it? And this is going to be a striking, pretty vivid message on a very vivid topic, the power of the tongue. It's called a brand new mouth. And how we walk in a brand new mouth, we're going to talk about three things. Firstly, number one, we have a brand new mouth, and a brand new mouth is led by the Spirit, not the flesh. A brand new mouth is led by the Spirit and not the flesh. And James says this in 3 verse 3. He says, "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong." Maybe you've seen a car outside. Maybe you haven't. It's a Honda CR-V, silver, 2006, a nice little compact SUV with some good winter tires on it. And if you have seen it, that's my vehicle. Overall, I've really enjoyed it. I've had it for 2 years now. I had it before I actually met Pastor Doug, and so I didn't learn about how good Hondas would be from him. We just share the same heart. And the Honda has been pretty good. I bought it with about 110,000 kilometers, and there's been no problems. And if you know Hondas, they can run a lot longer than that if you take care of it. Problem is there's one little thing wrong with it, and there's some people here who know exactly what's wrong with it. My daytime running lights, my low beam headlights, have kept burning out. They last for about a month, and they've kept burning out for about a year and a half. So I'll be driving in the middle of the night somewhere, and all of a sudden, it's just dark. And I'm like, oh, here we go. So what I've had to do, I took it to three different mechanics, and none of them actually fixed it, even though they tried different things. Although these days, it hasn't actually burnt out in 2 months now, so thank the Lord. But I've had to stock up. I went to Canadian Tire, and I bought packs and packs of headlights until this thing is fixed. Because, you know, sometimes the smallest thing has a really big influence on the journey. And there was a time I remember driving when it was dark out, and I was thinking I was in one lane. I was probably driving to Canadian Tire to buy new headlights. And it burnt out on the way, and I was driving thinking I was in the middle lane, and I turned on my brights to check, just to check, and I was actually in the farther lane. I didn't even realize. The course that we set in life sometimes is determined by a really small little thing, like a headlight. And James is talking a bit about this in a similar way, because look what he says. He says that our words are setting a course for our life. When he says in James 3:3-4, again, a large horse, it turns because of a bit. And a large ship, even in the winds and the rain and the storm, it'll turn because of a small rudder. And in the same way, a person, a human being, has power over their tongue to set a course for their life. And that's why he says in James 3:5, in the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. James 3:3-5. Or verse 5. In the Greek, the phrase, it makes grand speeches, literally means it makes great boasts. Now, I don't know about you, but nobody likes to be around a boastful person. Nobody wants to be around somebody who's saying, I did a really great job on Sunday morning. Boy, if I go out here and I say, wasn't my preaching great today? I bet you I might lose a few friends. But he's not talking about that kind of boasting. He's actually saying, the Greek is saying, the tongue actually can boast. It has a license to boast. Because it has so much power, it puts its money where its mouth is. A small thing lives up to a big name because the tongue is powerful. It is influential. And just think about it in your daily lives. You know, if you've ever had a tough season of life, maybe you're going through a tough season right now. Sometimes you can wake up in the morning and your first thought isn't hope, it's expecting the worst. I remember before I came to know Christ, this was a routine of mine to expect the worst. And I would get out of bed in that day and think and even say to myself, oh, here we go again. Maybe you've been there. And I might even go to someone I know, a family member, a friend, and say, oh, here we go again, another day of the grind. But what kind of a course am I setting for my day with that speech? What kind of a course are we setting with that speech? Science actually tells us, you know, it's funny, research backs this up, what Scripture is saying. It tells us that when we think positive things, when we speak positive things, our brain actually changes. It's the plasticity, the neuroplasticity of the brain, it changes, right, based on what we do. We are actually forming ourselves and our brains based on what we do and the choices we make. And so thinking positive, speaking positive things, and speaking truth, it tends to locate the prefrontal cortex, they call it the front, where we think about reason and logic, and we make good decisions, and we stay calm. But when we hear or speak really harsh, biting, negative words or speech, often it triggers the fear center of the brain, and we don't think as well. We worry. We're afraid. We panic. We become miserable. And you know, Scripture's been telling us this, though, for thousands of years. Like, a counselor I know, a Christian counselor, says this about the Bible. She says, the best psychology textbook there is the Bible. Because it's been telling us about it's been telling us the best way for people to live their lives well before doctors ever did. And especially when it comes to the mind and our mouths. Jesus said this in John 6:63, the words I have spoken are spirit and they are life. And so what are we saying? Number one, what we speak, the last slide, it's setting a course for us. And so we think, what kind of course are we setting, you know, as we talk? And that's the first thing. But the second thing is in what we're saying, what we see in James, though, is you can tell where someone is heading, actually, by the way they speak. There's an acquaintance of mine who's on Facebook here? A lot of people. And Facebook's a dangerous place sometimes. I love it. I use it for a lot of things. But boy, if you voice every thought you have, you can run into trouble. And that's what this individual did. He voiced an opinion, a strongly worded opinion, and he is a Christian, and he worded it very poorly. And the second I read it, and it's no one in this church, if you're thinking, is that me? Don't worry, it's not you. The second I read that post, I thought to myself, oh, this isn't good. Because people can tell by the way you speak, friends, where you're heading. And people, I guarantee you, in that moment, were making decisions a little bit about what they thought about Christ and the witness of the gospel, right? You can tell when a ship is sailing south. You can tell when a ship is sailing north. You can tell where someone is walking with the Lord by the way they talk. And so James is telling us to be aware of this. It matters where we're headed. But here's the good news. And I'm going to bookend every point. There's a bad news and a good news. That's the bad news. Our tongues can be dangerous. The good news is that it doesn't have to be like that. Because James is talking in that letter about generalities. He's talking about the power of the tongue if it's left to its own devices. He's talking about the tongue in its natural state, what it is like on its own. But there's good news. Because we have a new what? Mouth. We have a new heart and a new mind and a new mouth, and God is changing us into the image of Jesus. And so we're not left to our natural devices, and we don't have to be led by the flesh anymore. We can be led by the Spirit. You know, there's a rider on the horse controlling the bit. And there's a captain, there's a pilot in the ship steering the rudder. And as you're sitting here today, if you know Jesus, there's a person in control of a tongue. And you don't have to talk a certain way ever if it's against the will of God. You can be led by the Spirit. And I love this, Galatians 5:16. Paul says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And would you read this list with me out loud? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Say, I have self-control. And if the Spirit of God is living in you and me, we do. And so there's never a time where we have to say, oh, I couldn't help it, it just came out. Never a time. The Spirit can lead our speech. The Spirit can lead us, and that's the Spirit we have if we're followers of Christ. And He can set a course for us today that's headed towards Him rather than away from Him. Amen? How do we use our new mouths? Number one, we know that we can be led by the Spirit instead of the flesh. We have new mouths. There's nothing keeping us from pure speech. Secondly, a new mouth is set on fire by heaven. It's set on fire by heaven and not hell. James says in James 3:5-6, in the same way the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. It is set on fire by hell itself. Whew. Maybe you remember a couple years ago with the Fort McMurray fires and how devastating that was. And maybe you know people who were affected by that. I do. That was a hard time for our province. There was tens of thousands of people who came from Fort McMurray to Edmonton to find refuge and shelter and food and clothes. And our city did a good job. And people came around and surrounded them with love in many ways. But one spark, it has so much potential. And when we're talking about our speech, you know, it's vivid and harsh what James is saying, but it's not necessarily surprising because we've seen the pain that words can cause. Maybe you have a child in school right now, elementary school, and maybe it's a grandson or a granddaughter, but maybe one day they came home, for instance, off the bus and crying because they said, "Mommy or Daddy, someone called me this name." And a young mind can be easily affected. Maybe it's a coworker that at your job became the focal point of a rumor and it marred their reputation and it spread death, a fire. Maybe your husband or wife in the heat of a moment said something they might regret a little later and did. Maybe you did. Words can be like a fire. And James doesn't spare or hold back any remarks. He says five things really clearly, and we have to preach the word of God as we talk about this. He says, a spark can start a forest fire, and the tongue left to its own devices is a flame of fire, so much so that it contains the whole world of wickedness, and it can corrupt your entire body. It is set on fire by hell. That's striking words. And so what we see is that there's no other part of the human body that can be as destructive as the tongue. Think about that. And Jesus is the one actually who said this too in Matthew 15. He said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by words that come out of your mouth. The words that you speak that come from the heart, that's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander, these are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Do you know why Jesus said these words? Maybe you remember in the gospel. It was preceded by something. It was preceded by the Pharisees looking at Jesus as he cast out a demon out of somebody. And they said to him, oh, he casts out demons because he himself has a demon. And Jesus turned around to them and said, your words are poison. And he knew their hearts, and he said to them, you dishonor your father and your mother, who in their older age are in financial need, and yet you withhold that from them, and you speak out words to them, saying, what I would normally give to you is devoted to God. You'll understand. And Jesus said, your hearts are hard, and your words show it. Because that's what was revealed when they spoke. And so fires can start, but the good news, and this is the good news again, is if you're a Christian, you have three new things already. What are they again? You have a new heart, you have a new mind, and you have a new mouth. And that's your calling and your design. And so 1 Peter 2, verse 9, I would love for you to read this with me. Peter says this, he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That you may do what? Proclaim. That you may proclaim. We have a new way of talking. There's a new norm for the Christian. And it's not to start fires, it's to burn with a different kind of fire and to put them out. And we see this again. We're not set on fire by hell anymore. We're set on fire by heaven. Look at Acts 2, a passage that's familiar to Pentecostals. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty thunderstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And what looked like flames or tongues of fire, say tongues, appeared and settled on them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. And at the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. We hear them speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. Who were these disciples that came out speaking with the fire of God? I can remember a few of them. I can remember one who denied Jesus Christ 3 times. 3 times. Peter, remember what Peter said? I don't know him. 3 times Peter spoke death, and he's changed into a new person. And when the Spirit comes upon Peter, what is he doing now? He's proclaiming who Jesus is. He's set on fire by heaven now, not hell. And I can think of another disciple named Thomas. Remember what he said? He says, I won't believe in him being risen unless I see the nail-scarred hands and I put my fingers in the hole. And Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas was there. And his tongue was set on fire, not by hell, but by heaven. And he was with them proclaiming the good news. Their mouths were different. Their talk was different. They were worshiping. They burned with a different fire, friends. Do we want that? We can burn with a different fire because we have the Spirit of God, not from hell, but from heaven when we speak. And that's the words that Christ has on our lips, Spirit and life. And if you don't know him today, you can. You can walk 500 steps away from him. It's only one to come back because he comes running and you just receive him by faith. And we'll pray for those of you who don't know him later. But this is it, friends, that your mouth isn't destined to be an instrument of hell. It's destined to be an instrument of praise. There's trumpets in the picture, and that's what your mouth is. You're burning with the fire of heaven. What looked like flames or tongues appeared and settled on them, and the Holy Spirit filled them and inspired their speech. So what does it look like to burn with fire from God? Well, when that son or daughter comes running, crying because they were bullied, you know what you can do? And I'm sure you do this. You say to them, that's not who you are. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. You are a son or daughter of God. He loves you. You tell them who they are. You spread a different fire. And if your coworker is being, their reputation's in danger and they're being maligned at work, you can step in. And you can be a voice of reason and hope and truth and say enough of this. And in your marriage, when little fires start, and they all always do, they do, we're human beings. Instead of saying something we regret, we can instead say, God, give me grace. And go to them and say, you're precious to me. Even still, do you hear me today, friends? We're burning with a different fire. We're led by the Spirit of God with new mouths. We're burning with the fire of heaven. And lastly, we have a new mouth that is a fountain of life, a fountain of life and not of death. And James says, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those made in his image. Blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. This isn't right, brothers. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Could you close your eyes this morning just for a second, if you're comfortable? And just imagine this thought, a question. What would it be like for you to never say another wrong word ever again? How would you feel? You can open your eyes if you're closing them. The first thing that comes to mind for me is immense peace. Oh, it would be so good, wouldn't it? To never hurt another person, to never say the wrong thing, to never use foul or abusive speech. It would be beautiful. And we're going to go there. If we're heading towards glory and we know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a day we'll never say another wrong thing. But until then, James is saying, it's going to be hard. Because the tongue is tough to control. And he looks actually to the book of Genesis for this. There's 4 kinds of animals mentioned here, right? Animals that crawl along the ground, reptiles, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. He's talking about every sphere of creation, all the living animals made. And he says all of that is actually easier to control and domesticate than the tongue. The tongue is like a horse that can't be tamed, he says. Now that's confusing though, right? Because I thought we're talking about taming the tongue. I thought this message is about having a brand new mouth. And so two things I want to say. Number one, James is talking about this because even as Christians, we have to be alert. Even as Christians, we could be in church 1 minute, and the second we leave the door, something could slip out, right? And we have to keep it in check. It's hard to control, but it's doable by the Spirit of God. And the second thing is, who is James talking about here? He's talking about people. He's talking about us. He says, no one can tame the tongue. Is God a human being, friends? Is God a person like you or me? The tongue may not be tameable by us in our own strength, but thank God that there is a God who is bigger than us, who is leading us and giving us the last fruit of the Spirit. What is it? Self-control. So no one can look at this and say, oh, James is giving me a license to sin. James is saying I can say whatever I want because I can't. No. In fact, James actually expects Christians to be pure. And it is doable because look what he says next. Right there in the scriptures, he says, surely this should not be blessing and cursing. This is not right, as in there is a right way and it is doable. But it comes from a pure heart because pure hearts produce pure speech. Pure hearts produce pure speech. Luke 6:45, Jesus said it. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows out of what is in your heart. So pure speech flows from a heart connected to Christ, and we have new hearts. So pure speech should be the norm now, and it can be. It might take effort, but the Spirit is enabling us. And yet James is saying here that he sees Christians doing the opposite. And he uses the image of a spring. Isn't it interesting? He says, it's like a spring that one day produces bitter water, salty water, and the next produces clean water. So just imagine this. Imagine that you go to your faucet, your kitchen tap for a drink of water, and you grab your cup. I don't have a cup right now, but I'll pretend. And you put it under the tap, and you're used to it pouring out clean water. Maybe there's a few little things in there that aren't great, but you know what? We're tough. But this day, it's not clear, it's brown. And it's all you have to drink. And so one day you're hoping it won't be brown, but it is brown, then you have to drink it because you need water. Or imagine you look in your fridge for the Brita. Anybody have a Brita filter here or something like it? Oh, wow, a lot of you. And you look, normally the Brita's crystal clear. It's pure. You can see what's behind the Brita, you know, in the fridge. But this time the Brita, suddenly it's brown. And you have to drink it. There's over 1 billion people today, Erdo estimates, and they have clean water drinking programs, of people in the world who don't have access to clean drinking water. And this is their reality, and that's why we support them. That there are people that will need to go one day and get dirty water, and the next dirty water, and just maybe one day there's less dirt in it. But James is saying that's what it's like, actually, if we ignore the mandate of Christ with our speech. Because what happens when you drink brown water? You get sick. And one day we can be saying something that honors someone and lifts them up and respects them, and I'm accountable to. And it gives them health. It brings, Proverbs says, a kind word is like health to the bones. But the next day, if you curse someone, it's like a sickness. How can we be inconsistent? He says, let pure water, pure speech flow. And as he was writing this, the people would have taken notice because villages were formed around wells. They needed a clean well to survive. They needed a fresh water to survive. And so if there was a fountain found, people would build houses around it. They needed fresh water, just as we need words of life to survive and to know life in a good way. There's another slide here with this heart, just as the image. And I want to just speak from my heart for a second to all of you and to myself. Maybe you've heard of this, Bell Let's Talk Day. Has anybody heard of that before? It's a Mental Health Awareness Day. It's coming up fast on Wednesday, January 29th. And if you're not familiar with this, it's a day where Bell and a number of other partners promise to donate 5 cents for every text, tweet, message, email, whatever, that mentions Bell Let's Talk in it. And they'll donate this money to mental health initiatives, to military families struggling, to indigenous community programs where people are in need, to mental health initiatives, suicide prevention, a number of things. And I'm not promoting Bell, believe me, I'm not promoting Bell. There's a number of other days or programs or initiatives for mental health that we would be wise to educate ourselves on, because, you know, there's people struggling. There's people struggling. There's friends of mine, and there's friends of yours, I'm sure, and coworkers and strangers and acquaintances. And we would never know the things people are struggling with. And I'm speaking today from a place of deep personal experience with this too, as many of you are listening to it from as well. And boy, the words we speak. Someone who's struggling with thoughts that we can never even imagine. It makes all the difference whether we speak a word of life or death. It makes all the difference whether we really grasp this sermon and say, God, let my speech be pure, or whether we speak from the hip and say whatever. It makes all the difference sometimes. It can be life and death. It can be life and death. Because you never know what people are going through. Do you hear me today, church? And maybe some of you are struggling with your health as well in this area, and I want to say that we're here for you. Please share what's going on with pastors or with friends. Tell someone. We need to support one another. But it's imperative as that we speak words of life instead of death, because how we speak in this life, it matters. In this life and the next, it matters. And I'm not fabricating this or making this up. Matthew 5, look what Jesus says. He says, you've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, and we've been there, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Why does this matter? Why do words matter so much? Because people matter, church. Our words matter to God because people matter to God. Can you say this? People matter. People matter to God. And how we treat people in this life will affect people in the next, and us as well. You think about Luke. Remember, Jesus is talking about the parable of the rich man who owned a great estate, and there was a poor beggar named Lazarus who sat at his gate, and the rich man ignored him daily. But the rich man's life was required of him, and he passed away. And Jesus held him accountable for how he treated the poor man in his life. And I don't say this to scare us, but to call us all towards being who we truly are as followers of Jesus. Who needs a kind word in your life? Who needs an uplifting prayer? Who needs a hug, a card, a gift? Who needs a visit in the hospital? Who needs some help? Can we reach out, church? Somebody, maybe even in this room, needs our help. And Jesus said it best in John 13, I am giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love will prove to the world that you are my disciples. A new mouth is led by the Spirit and not the flesh. It's set on fire by heaven and not hell, and it's a fountain of life instead of death. Can you receive this word today? Amen. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer? Pastor Jason is going to lead us in a song, and just while we're going into worship, though, I just want to take time to pray for us. Because none of us are perfect. And when we hear a message like this, sometimes we can beat ourselves up even more and think, oh, I'm not doing very good at this. The truth is, we're all human beings. And we all need God's grace. And so as we bow in prayer, let me just pray for you, if you know Christ and if you don't. Heavenly Father, we come and approach your throne knowing that we need help. Because we do sometimes make mistakes. By our own choosing or in our own ignorance. But we thank you that there's help available because in your word you said, I'm putting a new heart in you and a new spirit, and I'm going to cause you to walk in my ways. And we're going to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into light. And so, Lord, set our tongues ablaze with the fire of the Spirit, Jesus. Set our tongues ablaze to praise you and to love people, because our words matter to you, because people matter to you. Your heart is for the outcast and the poor and the broken and the marginalized and the hurting. That's your heart. And give us your heart, Lord. The founder of World Vision said, let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God. Well, give us that heart, that we would be like Jesus and say words of life and spirit and bring health to people. And for those who don't know Christ here today, maybe that's you and you haven't committed your life to him, and you are struggling and your speech isn't great. And the good news is this, is that Jesus has given you all the words you need to be saved yourself and to be made new. And if that's you, you can just right now say to him, I need you. And I need you to change me. I turn from my sin. I give it to you. Give me a new heart and a new mind and a new spirit and a new tongue. In Jesus' name, amen.